From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. Coordinating Economic Affairs Minister Airlangga Hartarto expressed belief that the Gotong Royong vaccination program will expedite the process of achieving the national target to build herd immunity in Indonesia. To this end, Hartarto praised the initiative raised by the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry to offer the free vaccination program through administration of the Gotong Royong vaccine to workers in the private sector. The minister noted at the Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Tangerang, Banten on Tuesday on the arrival of imported vaccine doses in the country, that the distribution of more than 75,000 doses of the vaccine used in the Gotong Royong vaccination program. The national vaccination campaign is targeted for completion at the end of 2021. State Pharmacy Bio Farma President Director Honesty Bashir hoped the government would immediately negotiate with Saudi Arabia on the COVID-19 vaccine for prospective Hajj pilgrims. Previous reports suggested that the Saudi government only allowed the entry of pilgrims who have received a certain brand of vaccines. Honesty, in a joint hearing with Commission 6 of the House of Representatives at the Parliament Complex, Senayan, Jakarta on Tuesday, he added Bio Farma has discussed this diplomacy with the SOE Ministry, the Health Ministry, the Foreign Affairs Ministry, and the Religious Affairs Ministry. Bio Farma also suggested another option, that Indonesian would-be pilgrims who have received the Sinovac vaccine could be vaccinated again with AstraZeneca to meet the Hajj rules set by Saudi Arabia if possible. However, Honesty asserted this option is entirely up to the expert team. A total lunar eclipse, or a super blood moon, will be visible in Indonesia on Wednesday. Head of the Kupang Geophysical Station of the Indonesian Agency for Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics, or BMKG, Margiono, said in Kupang on Tuesday. A total lunar eclipse occurs when the sun, the earth, and the moon are aligned, and when the moon is in the umbra, or in the darkest part of the earth. At its peak, the moon will appear red, which is why it is also known as a blood moon. BMKG will monitor the eclipse for several locations across Indonesia, using telescopes equipped with detectors and information technology, and the results of the observation will be disseminated via webpage. The agency further said that the eclipse will be visible if the weather is cloudy and is safe to be witnessed directly without special eclipse glasses by the public. Hydrology and Water Resources expert at Jenderal Sudirman University, Yanto PhD, reminded all parties of the critically of bolstering mitigation efforts in order to lower the impacts of drought. According to BMKG's forecast, such efforts must be conducted although this year's dry season is wetter than normal. Yanto stressed in Purwokerto on Tuesday that mitigation efforts must be followed by the application of a plethora of climate change adaptation strategies. Moreover, it is necessary to boost the efficiency of water management and modification of land use by revegetating empty land with productive plants, such as fruit and vegetable crops, and implementing a water-efficient irrigation system. The expert further noted that climate change mitigation efforts to lower the impacts of drought should also be directed at lowering greenhouse gas emissions. Now we move to the international news. Iran said its decision to extend the 3-month agreement with the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, for an additional month is a sign of goodwill and shows readiness to work on the restoration of the nuclear deal if the U.S. lifts its sanctions. Iranian state-run IRNA news agency reported on Tuesday. In late February, Iran agreed to allow the IAEA to keep cameras installed in its nuclear facilities for 3 more months. With the caveat, the footage would be handed over only after the U.S. lifts its sanctions. The deadline expired on Monday. Despite the fact that the U.S. sanctions are still in place, Iran extended the agreement by 1 more month to give diplomacy a chance. Government spokesman Ali Rabi was cited by IRNA as saying, he noted that the decision was made after Iran's Supreme National Security Council concluded that the negotiation with the agency and the Vienna talks were making progress. Some 60 heads of state and top representatives of international bodies are expected to attend a global summit on climate change and sustainable development set to kick off in Seoul on Sunday. The South Korean presidential office on Tuesday announced the final schedule for the virtual partnering for green growth and the Global Goals 2030, or P4G summit, slated for Sunday and Monday. President Moon Jae-in will declare the official opening of the summit on Sunday and also preside over the official opening of the summit on Sunday with other leaders on carbon neutrality on Monday. P4G is an international initiative to accelerate the response to climate change and the implementation of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. This year's participant will adopt the Seoul Declaration at the end of the summit. We end the news with the U.S. that has promised to repair ties with the Palestinians by reopening a consulate in Jerusalem and help rebuild the conflict-torn Gaza Strip. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's comments came after meeting Palestinian leaders in the occupied West Bank. He also met Israel's Prime Minister in Jerusalem, pledging America's ironclad commitment to Israeli security. To help rebuild Gaza, the Biden administration has recently said it will ask Congress for $75 million in assistance. He added the U.S. will also provide $5.5 million in immediate disaster assistance for Gaza and $32 million to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Well, listener, that was the news.
America plans to reopen its consulate in Palestinian Jerusalem. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken made this statement on Tuesday local time. Previously, the U.S. consulate was closed in 2019. The closure was carried out while President Donald Trump was still in office. In 2017, Donald Trump also recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and then moved his embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. At that time, several countries such as Russia, Germany, Ireland, Malta, Mexico, Portugal, Australia, Poland, and Sweden rejected the invitation to inaugurate the transfer, whether for technical reasons or principles. The status of Jerusalem is one of many highly emotional and controversial issues that have sparked the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. Both sides claim the city as their capital. As a background, when Britain's mandate on Palestine ended in 1947, the United Nations passed a resolution calling for an Arab-Palestinian state and a state of Israel living side by side safely and declaring Jerusalem an international city. But in the first Arab-Israeli war, a year later, Israel captured the western part of the city of Jerusalem and Jordan took control of the eastern part. In the 1967 Arab-Israeli war, Israel succeeded in controlling East Jerusalem and at the same time declared the city the capital of Israel. The American embassy itself had been open since 1948 in Tel Aviv. While in Jerusalem, there was an American consulate office. The condition of the open conflict between Israel and Palestine have never subsided. Indeed, on May 21st, a ceasefire was reached, but a few hours later, clashes between Israeli police and Palestinians occurred again. Naturally, the world hopes that there will be steps to maintain and bring about peace, which is jointly pursued, both by the warring parties and the surrounding countries. According to the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the U.S. has taken steps to reopen its consulate in Jerusalem as a form of support for Palestine, something doubted by many, considering that the U.S. has always stated that Israel is its main ally in the Middle East. Hopefully, there will be communication made both by international community through the United Nations and other organizations so that there are steps that can reduce the Israeli and Palestinian conflicts.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on May 26, 1918, when the Democratic Republic of Georgia was established. Georgia has been part of the Russian Empire since the early 19th century. However, after Tsarist Russia collapsed due to the Russian Revolution in 1971, Georgia declared independence and became the Democratic Republic of Georgia on May 26, 1918. In 1921, the Democratic Republic of Georgia fell to the Russian army and was annexed to the Soviet Union in 1922. Georgia seceded from the Union Soviet and regained independence on April 9, 1991. However, May 26 is still celebrated as Georgia's Independence Day. Meanwhile, April 9 is celebrated as the National Unification Day of Georgia. Moving on to an event on May 26, 1972, when Anti-Ballistic Bullet Control Treaty was signed. The Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty is an agreement between the United States and the Soviet Union on the limitation of anti-ballistic missile systems, or ABM, used in defending the area against delivered nuclear weapons ballistic missiles. Under the terms of the agreement, each party is limited to 100 anti-ballistic missiles. The treaty was signed by the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, and the General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, on May 26, 1972. The treaty lasted 30 years until 2002. In June 2002, the United States withdrew from the treaty, so the treaty was not renewed. We end today in history with an event on May 26, 1966, the independence of Guyana. Guyana, which is located in the south of the American continent, was discovered by Spanish sailors about 5 centuries ago. It was this country that later became the colonizer of Guyana. The beginning of the 18th century saw a terrible war between European countries that occurred in the regions of Guyana, Suriname, Venezuela, and Brazil. In 1815, the Vienna Treaty was signed by the countries involved in the war. In this agreement, the boundaries of the disputed area were determined and then divided between the colonizing countries. In this division, Guyana became a British colony until finally independent on May 26, 1966. Well, listener, that was today in history.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Jangan sensi macam orang sakit.
is in the house, yo man. Let me tell you something about this song. Check it out. Tidak perlu pantai jika ingin bersantai. Dengarlah lagu ini lewat headphone yang kau pakai. Nikmati sambil tanganmu melambai-lambai. Baru bilang bye-bye, eh sudah sampai.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Ministry of Maritime and Fishery prepared the hashtag Pasar Laut Indonesia, or in English, hashtag Indonesian Sea Market Gallery, in three locations. The first is at Terminal 3 Arrival Gate of Soekarno-Hatta's International Airport. The second and the third will be at the rest area of the Trans-Java Toll Road, namely at the kilometer 260B Brebes and kilometer 456 Salatiga. The galleries are a support from the Maritime and Fishery Ministry for the Proud of Indonesian Product movement. That was stated by Director General for Maritime and Fishery Product Competitiveness Strengthening, Artati Widiyarti, as quoted from the ministry's website on Monday. Artati said the galleries were also part of the initial launching of Indonesian Sea Market. At the hashtag Pasar Laut Indonesia Gallery, there will be top sea and fish products of micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs. The gallery was launched at Terminal 3 of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. At the gallery, visitors can buy various processed products such as fish cereal, fish floss, crab floss, fish sauce, fish noodle, milk fish nut, fish skin, and shrimp base. There are also skincare products such as face wash, face mask, shampoo, serum, spa salt, as well as sea-based handicrafts. Artati said special for the galleries at kilometer 260B and the 456 Trans-Java Toll Road rest area, there will be more products of local MSMEs. Therefore, the proud of Indonesian product can move the national economy and becoming a realization of Indonesian people's mutual cooperation. She said by purchasing MSME's products, one supports the people's economy and at the same time is proud of national products. Similarly, state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II President Director Muhammad Awaluddin said a collective action in various sectors is needed in supporting MSMEs. Awaluddin also ensured his support for various MSMEs as initiated by the Maritime and Fishery Ministry with Indonesian Sea Market, one of which is providing an activity area around the airport. He said, choosing Soekarno-Hatta as one of the gallery location is a right choice because it is the busiest airport in Indonesia. Soekarno-Hatta is also the main entrance to Indonesia and the main hub for domestic air connectivity.
Semakin berbeda.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Bidadari Waterfall is one of the stunning natural attractions in Lahat, South Sumatra. This waterfall, which has beautiful natural scenery, is interesting to be included in your list of recreational destinations. This waterfall is quite unique because it has about 7 peaks, each of which has a different height, starting from 4 meter, 10 meter, even up to 35 meter of height. Because it has a different height at each level, it's no wonder that many people come to enjoy the freshness of this waterfall. According to the story of the local community, this waterfall is named the Bidadari Waterfall because this waterfall was the betting place for the angels. Under the Bidadari Waterfall, there is a pool that can be used for swimming. This pool is quite wide, which is about 10 meters. Even though there are lots of tourists who come, this pool still feels quite wide to be used for swimming freely. The scenery around this waterfall is amazing, with the many towering trees and green grass. Everyone will feel fresher. Green scenery like this is perfect for those of you who are always at the computer while working, because it can make the eyes more relaxed and can minimize any eye disease. That's why if you come to this tour, you will not feel get lost. You can enjoy fresh air when you enter the forest area up to the waterfall. This fresh air is perfect for those of you who live in cities, because this fresh air will certainly nourish and make the body fresher. The Bidadari Waterfall is located in Karang Dalam Village, Lahat Regency, South Sumatra Province. The trip can be reached easily because the access to this tourism location is paved and the road conditions are very smooth. When you enter the Karang Village area, you are required to walk to get to the waterfall and park there vehicles in the village. The entry ticket to this tourist location is quite affordable, even though you visit with your family. The ticket price is only 5,000 rupiah per person. What do you think? Interesting, isn't it? So prepare your time for a vacation to the tourist location of the Bidadari Waterfall. That was Indonesian Wonder.
Need you can't keep so close to the limit. Never gonna be what you want anymore.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about sakit, which means sick, so stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Saya Demam dan Sakit Perut, which means I have fever and stomachache. This dialogue is between Kevin and a nurse in a general polyclinic. The nurse asks Kevin to get blood pressure check first. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya demam. Saya sakit perut.
Saya periksa dulu ya.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Demam, demam, which means fever. Sakit, sakit, which means sick. Perut, perut, which means stomach. Sakit perut, which means stomachache. Saya demam, which means I have fever. Saya sakit perut, which means I have stomachache. Periksa, periksa, which means check. Dahulu, dahulu, which means first. Saya periksa dahulu ya, which means let me check first. In the dialogue, you listen to an expression, saya demam, which means I have fever, and saya sakit perut,
Saya sakit perut, which means I have stomachache. The two phrases are used to express sickness. Let's listen to another example to express sickness. Ada keluhan, Pak? Ada keluhan, Pak? Which means, what do you feel, sir? Perut saya sakit. Perut saya sakit, which means I have stomachache. The expression suggests saya demam, which means I have fever. And saya sakit perut, which means I have stomachache, are general expressions to express sickness in certain body parts. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Saya demam. Saya sakit perut.
Saya periksa dulu ya.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I'm Rahma. I would like to present a song entitled Kerupuk Batok from Palembang, South Sumatra. The lyrics of the song Kerupuk Batok tell the wonder of Palembang in South Sumatra, with its tourism and culinary destinations. This song tells the atmosphere on the bank of the Musi River, the longest river in Sumatra. The bank of the Musi River is so busy at night. Many boats cross the river. Men and women eat together and have fun. The lyrics of the song Kerupuk Batok also mention the names of Palembang specialties, namely Kerupuk Batok or Selfish Cracker, Pempek, Srikaya, Rujak Mie, Tekwan, Lakso, and Burgo. All of this authentic Palembang food will be a memory for anyone who visits Palembang. Well, listener, here is the song Kerupuk Batok by Putri. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Love.
Voice of Indonesia.
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.